For some time now, I've been wanting to talk about the UCC, the United Church of Christ. Who are we? What is our mission? How do we differ from the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians? Why should individuals and families become members? And when they do, what do they need to know about the UCC? Let's begin with just a brief history. First of all, when this particular church was organized in the late 1800s, it was a congregational church, part of a denomination that traced its roots back to Plymouth, Massachusetts in the early 1600s. Over these two centuries, it had experienced considerable modification from the grim Puritans who quaked under the piercing eyes and lacerating words of preachers like Jonathan Edwards and his sinners in the hands of an angry God. In the 19th century, Congregationalists were partners in the abolitionist movement, opposing the concept that slavery was ordained by God. In the early 20th century, four Protestant denominations became two. The Congregational Church joined the Christian Church, and the Reformed Church, not to be confused with the Christian Reformed Church or the Dutch Reformed Church, joined with the Evangelical Church. I could go into a lot of detail about what each of these groups represented theologically, but that's a longer lesson for another day. So now we have the Congregational Christian Churches and the Evangelical and Reformed Churches. In the middle of World War II, a time of upheaval and fear, these churches, quote, believed it was God's call to witness to unity as a sign of reconciliation in a divided and despairing world, close quote. The agreement that they signed in 1943 was called the Basis of Union, and it set the stage for the 1957 union of the two churches into the United Church of Christ. So there we were, part of a brand new denomination with roots in four much older faiths. Well, not exactly part. Each individual church in the two uniting groups had to vote itself in, kind of like ratifying the Constitution. Not every congregation wanted to submit to changes in the ways they had been doing things. So some became part of the UCC, and others formed another group, the Continuing Congregational Church, where John Dowd came from. So the Jackson Congregational Church did not join the UCC, nor did the churches in Sutton's Bay and Frankfort. Even this church did not join the UCC until 1961. I wish I could tell you what the discussions were like leading up to that decision, but I can't. Maybe someday we'll be able to unearth those antique trustee minutes and understand the doubts and concerns that were considered before we joined. The UCC in 1957 had the fundamental doctrine from the Basis of Union, and the framers of this new denomination built a constitution and bylaws, plus a statement of faith, which you'll find in the back of your hymnals. One thing that distinguishes the UCC from other denominations is that we view our statement of faith as a testimony, not a test. Each congregation decides whether or not to include it in its worship service, and new members and confirmands are not required to recite it by heart. The symbol on the cover of your bulletin was created to represent the new UCC. It reflects ancient symbols from the early church. Notice the crown above the cross. It represents Christ's sovereignty, and you'll see that the top is in three parts for the Trinity. Then the cross is embedded in an orb, symbolizing that Christ's disciples, all of us, are to be his witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. The scripture around the oval is from John 17:21 and reflects the commitment of the founding churches to unity. The UCC is a church of faith. Our purpose comes from Matthew: to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. It is also a church of action. Inspired by God's grace, we welcome all, love all, and seek justice for all. Evidence of that is in the fact that the UCC ordained the first African American, the first woman, the first openly LGBTQ minister. We supported civil rights, and we affirmed the right of same-gender couples to marry. Are you familiar with the word polity? Are you thinking that someone has misread the word policy? Polity is a churchy word for government or civil organization. So how are we organized? The word autonomous gets tossed around a lot with reference to UCC churches, with good reason. Even though we are part of a denomination, each UCC church is autonomous, up to a point. We create our articles of incorporation. We establish our own bylaws. We frame our own worship services. We select and call our ministers. We elect our own officers according to our bylaws. We decide how frequently we will have communion. Our autonomy is clear if you visit another UCC church. Visit the Gaylord Church sometime, or Northport, or Clare, or Harrison. You'll notice many differences. However, the keynote of UCC polity is a commitment to covenant. Each UCC church recognizes that it has a deep, intentional covenant with other settings of the UCC. At every level, each expression of the church has responsibilities and rights in relation to the others, to the end that the whole church will seek God's will and be faithful to God's missions. Decisions are made in consultation and collaboration among the various parts of the whole. The whole organization is a pyramid, with hundreds of local churches as the foundation. This church is part of a regional association of local churches, the United Northern Association, through which we support one another and through which our clergy receive standing the right to pastor a church. There are 6 associations in Michigan, and they are all under the umbrella of the conference, so that's level 3. The conference office is in Lansing, and it serves as a clearinghouse, providing communication from one level to another, keeping archives, helping churches through the process of finding ministers, organizing meetings, retreats, workshops, lots of basic problem solving. Michigan has over 100 local churches, so the conference staff is kept pretty busy. Just ask Campbell Lovett how many miles he puts on his car in a year. Some states are so densely packed with UCC churches that they have more than one conference, such as Pennsylvania. In other states, especially in the West, the UCC churches are so few and far between that several states form one conference, like the Southwest Conference that our friend Bill Lyons from Grand Rapids went to serve as conference minister. You remember Bill. He taught some wonderful classes here. Above the conference level is the national setting of the UCC. This is in Cleveland, and it's where the president and general minister, that's one person, has his office, as well as other officers and staffers. It is through the national setting that groups work on overseas ministries, justice, Justice and Witness Ministries, and many others. Think of the national setting as the executive branch of the government. That leaves only one more part to our polity, our church organization, and that is General Synod, which is our legislature. It isn't on a level above, but exists in tandem with the national setting. A big part of the work of the national setting is organizing General Synod. General Synod, which means assembly or council or convention, meets every 2 years. It is a gathering of thousands of faithful members of the UCC for formal church witness, inspirational worship, and discussion of resolutions. It is a representative body of voting delegates sent by their conferences. The resolutions come from settings of the church and are studied ahead of time, then thoughtfully discussed and revised before being brought before the whole body for a vote. It's an exciting, exhausting process. I have served as a delegate, so have Donna Debney and Sarah Kyneth. It's an unforgettable experience. When it was in Grand Rapids, many people went as visitors and volunteers. Bob Levan and Troy Knight visited when it was in Cleveland. So that's who we are, part of a long Christian tradition as well as a new dynamic denomination that has stood with oppressed groups seeking justice. How does that mantle feel? Is it a good fit? Can we sustain the energy to live out the UCC mission? United in spirit and inspired by God's grace, we welcome all, love all, and seek justice for all. I'd like to think that once you know where we've been and what we stand for, you'll have an interest in getting involved. There are committees looking for fresh faces. It's energizing to meet folks from other churches and then see them again at a retreat or conference meeting. Those are the people whose names pop up when the conference is looking for delegates to General Synod. Whether it's a leadership role right here, or at the association level, or the conference level, please give it some thought. This is just a quick overview of the history and polity of the UCC. There are many resources available, including many videos from which we could build a study group. Please let me know if you're interested. And now, Most Holy One, help us to remember the covenant. We are not alone in our struggles. We are all members of the body of Christ, and each of us is called to honor and respect the work of others. Help us to listen and hear and support one another. Let us rejoice in the power and energy this support gives us. Amen.